My name's Anita Brett, and hello everyone that I do and don't know. I am the pastor that you don't know's wife. Mark Brett is my husband, and that doesn't make me, sorry, my shoes were too high, more or less qualified to do anything. It doesn't make me skilled at anything because I'm married to somebody who is wonderful. It doesn't make me any more administrative, even though he is like the administrative guru. It just makes me a wife and a follower of Christ. And I don't know you guys. I need to know, just to make sure that I get this tuned right, how many of you gals are single? Okay, and how many of you, it's loud, isn't it? How many of you are married then? Everybody else? How many have kids? How many have kids out of the house? Okay, great. That's great. It's a tight little narrow. No, it's not narrow at all. I was handed the topic of leadership for women, leading in a feminine way, and I thought, I guess I better figure out what exactly that is, because I don't know. I do know that leadership is something skewed, that we all have a very different idea of what we think leadership as women is. We think it's different in the workplace. We think it's different at home. And so I want to spend about 5 minutes, no, 3 minutes, hearing what your guys' thoughts are of what is leadership. What is feminine leadership? I have time. I'll just wait. Yes?
I think it's wisdom, but it's full of grace. But it's not boss either.
So leadership is wisdom, full of grace. Yes? Absolutely true. And your name?
Amanda.
This is Amanda, and your name is?
Cindy.
Cindy? Cindy and Amanda. Nice to meet you. Other thoughts? Lori, what do you think?
Directing.
How can you direct?
Telling people what to do.
And how can you know what to do?
You need to have done it yourself, or not necessarily have done it yourself, because if you're going to, I can't think of the word I want to use. It's when you give power to others.
Delegate.
Yes, being able to delegate. But in order to lead, you have to have qualities that someone is going to follow you.
Yes.
By example.
And what does that mean to you?
It's difficult to tell somebody how to do something.
My kids. Sorry. Go ahead. I'm going to just put it on quiet and hope that...
It's hard to tell somebody how to do something if you haven't done it, because you're not really aware of all the details that are involved. So by doing it yourself and learning through that process, it makes you better able to direct other people how to do it, because they want to learn.
Exactly. Was there a hand? Kelly, was that your hand?
Like, these all seem very general. Like, you could say this in a men's class too. Mm-hmm. So like, I was thinking like maybe in a feminine way, just as a woman, like we're leaders, but we also have to be led. Like, our husbands are supposed to lead us as well. Or...
Excuse me. Can you answer this for me?
But, I mean, like, if you're a leader, you have to be led. Like, you have to... I think you have to
You have to be able to follow, is that what you're saying?
Yeah. So, yeah, because I mean, I'm not saying like women need to be submissive and always like down, but it's important to know that you can't always feel like you're right and you have to, and everybody has to follow you.
Yes.
That's kind of was in my head a little bit, and just like an attribute of being a leader. And I do think this goes probably for men too, but just having that teachable heart, like not being afraid to step out in truth when we know that if there's something to stand for or just to talk about, to set an example, but then also to always have that humility of we always can be taught
right.
something, even from those we're leading,
mm-hmm.
like our children.
And fears in leadership, because there's a little bit under here that you can kind of hear the, ooh, but I've had examples of women in leadership that have been wrong, or I want to lead this way in church leadership and other people tell me I'm wrong. So let's hear those thoughts.
Well, Joyce Myers was speaking in one of her videos, and she was a Christian for quite a while before she became in her leadership role mm-hmm. of speaking in front of thousands and writing books and everything. And one day she told her friend, you know, God has told me to do this. And her friend said, oh, I don't think you'd be very good at it. And then she jokingly said, well, that friend is now in my ministry. But, you know, you don't necessarily get everybody supporting you along the way, including Christian friends. So sometimes you have to be able to listen to God's leading against opposition. And that's difficult, because is someone telling you because they know what they're talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it just,
is it the enemy?
You have to feel your way through it. Mm-hmm. It isn't going to be that easy.
This is really helpful, because I think, God is saying the same thing over and over again. Because the things that I hear you guys saying are the things that I felt like he was saying to me too, about leadership and women. Leadership and women. We've had a few minutes just to think about what leadership might be, might not be. Anytime in the middle of this, if you have a question and you want to write it down because you want it anonymously answered, then feel free to do that. If you want to raise your hand, that also is great. And because I can't always think in a linear fashion, I may have to just wait to get through with my point before I ask you what your thought is, because I can get so sidetracked, I may not get back to the topic again. There are those that smile because they know. Wrongly, we feel, sometimes we think that leadership is about position. I do not know over half of you here. And yet I'm teaching on leadership, so you guys don't know me as a leader. I don't think of myself as a leader. I love to get together one-on-one with people and talk about God and hear what mistruths they believe and help them to find the truth. And sometimes that takes years just even to become a believer. And sometimes it takes years after that to become a follower of Christ in the full sense of the word, of obeying God in this area, in this area, in this area. Those are the things that I love to do. And what gives me great joy is seeing that that's what people in the Bible did too. I look at David, and he led sheep. And God saw him leading sheep. And that makes me very happy, because I have 5 kids. They are 9, 11, 12, 13, and 15. And I have a husband who has job as pastor and job at Sparrow in administration. He's really, really busy and needs me to be really busy at home to keep things going. For a long time, I worked with internationals because I married Mark, and Mark was going to marry a Chinese national, and he was going to move to China. And I was in California on the white sandy beaches, sitting in the shadow of the Coronado Hotel, sipping wine, watching the sunsets with my friends who wanted to become believers, and so we'd sip wine and have cheese and watch the sunset and talk about God. And I thought that was the life. And then this guy comes into my life and wanted to marry me and to go to China to do that. And so we worked with internationals. We went to China and we came back. And now we do not spend time with internationals. We spend time with college students and married couples and a lot of people from the hospital, a lot of people in our community who know us thoroughly. They know us at home, and they know us in the workplace, and they know us at church, and there are many opportunities to be criticized because I don't stack up to what others think that I should be. And the only reason that I can stand in front of you guys confidently is because I am saved by grace. And I make mistakes every day, and I try to choose right, and I will be judged. And if you want to be a leader, you too will be judged. And you'll be criticized, and there will be the people that say the right thing about your leadership, and there will be the people that say the wrong thing about your leadership. And I'm in great company, because I look at Nehemiah, who was exiled to Babylon. And while he was there, he went up to King Darius and said, King Darius, I really feel like I need to go back. Actually, King Darius said, why is your countenance fallen? You've never been unhappy in my presence. And he said, well, actually, I'm really thinking about my hometown. They need a wall built in order to honor God. I need to go back and do that. And King Darius said, well, okay, if I send you with my people and my money and my protection, is that enough for you? Yeah, sure. Who would have thought that he would have had that kind of support? But then came all of the people that were criticizing, the Sanballats and Tobias, and I know I got all those wrong, but these people came criticizing. He was doing the right thing. He was doing what God called him to do. And people came and they started criticizing. And they said, look at that wall. Even a fox could hop over that wall. It's not big enough. It's not big enough. Give up. And he didn't give up. And they were right. A fox could hop over that wall. But he wasn't going to stop here. He was going to make a full wall. And he made the full wall. And I want to ask you, when did Nehemiah become a leader? Really, I'm really asking you.
Oh.
This is not rhetorical. Hands, please. Yes.
I think when he asked permission from the king, because he was brave enough to talk to the king about building the wall. And so he had to be brave to do that.
He didn't just see the need, but chose to meet the need. Didn't complain to other people about the need, but he chose to meet the need. Took action. That is a great place for leadership.
And all the years he spent building the relationship with the king, showing that he was trustworthy.
Yes. It was the relationship that he had with the king also. He had a trustworthy relationship with the king that the king would offer to build the wall of the people that he had just taken captive. Well, not just taken captive. They'd been captive for a long time. He was going to build the thing. And so it was the relationship. Anywhere else?
When he chose not to give up at that point, where it was the small wall, he said, okay, people are going to criticize me, but I'm not going to give up on the mission that I set forth to do.
Yeah. That also is where he was a leader. Do you see? He was a leader from the first choice to the last choice. He chose to have a good relationship. He chose to have good character. He chose to hear what God was saying. He chose to take action on what God was saying. We see him as a leader because he did get the wall built. But that wasn't when leadership started. He got something done. Let's look at Ruth. I'm really hoping somewhere in here I'm kind of following these notes. Do you guys ever wonder why every one of God's leaders, Moses, David, Saul, both of them, were in the desert, Abraham, Isaac, why were they all in the desert for a certain amount of time? What is this desert experience? Yeah, we're in the desert. We feel like it's a time of reflection and peace, for the sake of the recording. It's a time of reflection and peace. It's a time to kind of put our stake in the sand, since it is a desert, but put our stake in the sand of saying, this is what I'm going to live for, even though it seems like nobody is out here caring for me. I'm going to decide, reflectively, I'm going to live for this and this. Is that interpreting correctly what you said? Adding to? Is that interpreting correctly what you said?
Yeah.
Moses spent 40 years trying to give up the leadership position of Egypt and take God's leadership instead. David, he built up that leadership like Nehemiah did, quietly in the desert with sheep. He did that before anybody saw him. My big thing that I always say is, but God sees me. God sees the little things and God sees the big things. And God will reward what he sees. It says in Matthew that, you know, if you pray in your closet in the private, then God who sees in private will reward you. God will reward you. And I would much rather God's reward than the reward of people around me. Was Ruth a leader? The story of Ruth, really briefly, is she was a Moabitess. The Israelites were in famine. Israelites, some of them went to Moab. The Israelites were allowed to marry the Moabites, and so some of those guys married the women there. One of the women was Ruth. Ruth's father-in-law died, and then her husband died, and then her brother-in-law died, and so here she's left with Naomi, her mother-in-law, from Israel, who says, you stay here, I'm going back to Israel, I hear things are looking pretty good there. And Ruth says, where you go, I'll go, and where you lodge, I'll lodge, and your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. And so she left Moab and went to Israel. And then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said, oh, go glean like a slave behind people that are catching wheat. You go do that. And she did that. And she did it in just the right place. I don't know when Ruth became a leader, but Ruth did what I think every leader should do. She obeyed God, and she served people. Where you go, I'll go. Where you lodge, I'll lodge. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. I'm going to obey your God, and I'm going to serve people. Obeying God and serving people. There's leadership. How is it different from male leadership? Well, we're women. If I lead in a masculine way, I'm no longer who God made me to be. What does it mean to lead in this church in a feminine way? God has put authority over everybody. God is the authority. And so we have the pastors who live in authority under one another and authority under God. We have ministries here that are in authority, they're under the authority of the pastors who are under the authority of God. We have children who are under the authority of their parents, who are under the authority of their pastors, who are under the authority of God. When Mark is at Sparrow, he is under the authority of the board, who's under the authority of the CEO. And then that's where he comes in. So he listens to his authority at work. He listens to the CEO. He listens to the board. He's under authority. If he steps outside of that authority, he is no longer in a safety net. If he does something that the CEO doesn't want him to do, he'll get in trouble. If I do something at home that is outside of the authority of my husband, I do a lot of things, by the way, then I'll probably find myself in a bit of trouble, not from Mark, but from the circumstances. I didn't see things, and I didn't choose to be under authority. Jesus said, open. The Roman soldier came up to Jesus, and he wanted his daughter healed or his son healed. I'm sorry, I don't quite remember. And then he said, don't go. I also am one under authority. I say to one, go, and they go. And I say to the another, stay, and they stay. So I know, Jesus, that you can just heal my son from here. And Jesus said, I've never seen greater faith. We do not look down on that Roman soldier because he knew the lines of authority. We do not look down on that Roman soldier because he followed those lines of authority and he had faith in the unseen. His faith was in God, what God could do, even though he didn't see it. When we choose to put ourselves under authority, we choose to have faith in what God can do, whether seen or unseen. We are like that soldier, and that means we have great faith. I feel safe under authority, if it's the right authority, and if it's the wrong authority, God sees. And we've all been under wrong authority, and God sees. If you've been under wrong authority for a long time, then you have a lot of wounds and you want to buck against authority. And that is very reasonable. But God sees. And so I'm saying, God can do anything. But God, my favorite verse. But God, rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us. Loved us for all of eternity. Loved us so that we get saved, so that for all of eternity he can be kind to us. Leadership in the world means that you are hired into a job, and because you're hired into the job, you have authority. Now you're the boss, and people have to kowtow to what you say. You are the boss. You are hired to be the boss. Hopefully, then you act like a boss. That is not the way the church sets up leadership in this church. Mark is the boss. So when he goes to Sparrow, he could sit and tell everybody what to do, but he doesn't. He goes on rounds. That means he walks through the cancer center and he talks to the patients at the cancer center to ask how their care was. And he talks to the nurses in the cancer center to ask how they're doing. And he talks to the doctors and he talks to the everything, the oncologist, the interventionalist, the insurance, he talks to people. What can we do better? And he hears what can be done better. And then that's how he leads. Then he goes and he does that better. He doesn't tell people what to do without knowing what's going on. Leadership in church is finding the need and starting to serve there. If you're single, look at the need around you. What unique place has God put you in? He's put you somewhere where you see a need that nobody else can see. So start there. That's where you start. Because if you know that the kids' ministry is wild, how come you know that? Well, because I try to drop my kids off there and it's kind of wild. Okay, anyone in children's ministry, I'm not saying it's wild. I don't know, because I don't drop my kids off there. They're old enough that we don't usually need to do that. So this is no criticism. It's just saying you know the need because you interact with that need. You see it face to face. Then you know what can be addressed. I go into the kids' ministry when I drop my kids off. I noticed there wasn't somebody there to greet me. Gosh, that would be a good thing to do. I know. I'll volunteer to be that person. I'll go greet people. I see the need. And then as you see that need and you fill that role, then you can start to see other needs around you too. And then you start to learn the job. You know what? Kids ministry would benefit from this, this, and this. I'll try to do those things. And you do more and more things. And as you do more and more things, you see more and more needs. And then somebody new comes up to you and they've seen a need and they come up and seems like you know what's going on. So they come in and they ask you, what can be done? And you know because you're serving. And in your service, you can say, you know what? I know that so-and-so's in that room with screaming kids right now and they would need an extra hand. And so-and-so needs to go to the bathroom and they need an extra hand. And now you're a leader. Because you served where you saw the need, you met the need, you could see more needs, and people started following you. In college ministry especially, we'll have a lot of people that say, I want to lead a Bible study. Great. That sounds great. Well, so can you help me lead a Bible study? Well, what does that mean? Well, you know, you get the people together and then give them to me and then I lead them. No. Because if you can't step into a position of leadership if you're not leading. If you think that you're leading and nobody's following, Mark's favorite phrase is, really, you're just taking a walk. You lead by serving. If you want to lead a Bible study, then you share the word with people. And as you're sharing the word with people, if it meets a need, pretty soon you'll have a Bible study. Going back to the shape thing that Noel was talking about, that Rick Warren was talking about, we used to have a shape class, and it's a huge thing. What has God gifted you in? What needs do you see? Where's your heart go? If your heart goes to international students, follow that. God's done that in you. Follow international students. If your heart goes out to those poor moms with brand new babies, oh my gosh, go work in the nursery. Love up those moms. That's leadership in church in a feminine way. What we see is different than what the guys see. The reason that Grace canoes like this is because she is a woman. And she loves that flower over there, and that needs to be enjoyed. And look, did you see that turtle? I want to get to the end. My husband wants to get to the end, and he missed the turtle, and there was a drowning kid over there. I went over there because that kid was drowning. Okay, this is really true. I have that kind of driven. Anyway, you lead by serving. I want to lead, but no one will follow. So you're not leading. Do not wait to the next phase of life to start serving. It's easy if you're single to think, when I get married, then I'll know what I should do for God. It's easy when you're married to think, well, when I have kids, then I'll know what to do. It's easy when you have kids to think, are you kidding? And I'm going to have people over too? Oh, look at all these notes. We just have to skip right through. Leading in the church. So you're tired of listening to the sermon again on giving. You've heard the sermon on giving. I'm not going to church because I've heard that sermon. Well, have you done it? Did you obey that sermon? Did you learn it well enough that you could answer questions on giving to other believers who have questions? Do you know it well enough that if you're in the street and someone says, hey, so what was the sermon on? You could say, you know what? It was on giving. And be able to present it in a wise man makes knowledge acceptable. Can you present giving in such a way that other people will want to give? You can? Super. Great. So come next week, because next week someone's going to teach on something differently. On something different. And when they teach on something different, have you done that? And have you helped other people to do that? And can you help other people to do it even more so? Is that a foundational belief that you could repeat to other people to help the church grow? If it is, then great. When I'm in a small group, leading a small group is not what I like to do. I like to help the leader lead the small group. And that means that I can just ask the person who's been quiet, Melissa, I haven't heard a thing from you tonight. Do you want to speak up a little bit more? And poor Melissa's like, oh man, she got my name. Now that she's got my name, she's going to use it. That's how you can lead in a small group at church. You can lead by welcoming the person who looks like they're lost, because they probably are. You can be a friend. You can encourage. Women always need to have courage on how they look, how they interact with people, the things that they've been doing. Am I really obscure? Do you even know my name? Do you know that I exist? We need permanence put there, and we can do the permanence thing because we can see what's going on. I don't come to church, walk in, walk out. I come to church, and I canoe like Grace does. And if I don't, I probably had a really bad night and I need to repent. No. Really, that's probably what happened. Bill Hybels wrote a book that's called Who Are You When No One's Looking? And it talks a lot about character. Leading is choosing to obey God so that he's the one that's glorified. And if we have it backwards, that we want God to choose us to lead so that we are the ones that are glorified, then we're wrong. And if that's what you think is going to happen, you'll have that desert place, and you'll have the fall, and you'll be criticized. Whether you do what's right or wrong, you're going to be criticized. So, kind of get used to that part. Don't lead for the sake of being glorified by men. Lead for the sake of glorifying God. And if you aren't glorifying God when nobody's looking, then you aren't glorifying God when everybody's looking. And that's what Nehemiah did. He built a relationship with Darius, but he didn't know he was doing it. Leading in the marketplace. So I was a therapist in California. Oh, Sarah, I've got to give you time. Leading in the marketplace. I was a therapist, and I wanted to work as hard and as fast as I could so that I could get out of work so that I could go serve God. So when I would take a pen home from work, I did not see it as stealing. And when I made that godly phone call when I was at work, I didn't see it as wrong. And then, you know, everyone has their great mentor man or woman. So Terry Bartley. You won't even know, was it a man or a woman? I don't know. Terry Bartley was the great mentor who said, whatever you do, do your work for the Lord. Whether here or there, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do your work for the Lord. whether you're a therapist in San Diego, California, working with brain injured patients who bite and spit on you, or whether you're in sunny Lansing, Michigan, changing diapers for 5 kids in a dark hole. No matter what you do, whatever you do, do your work for the Lord. If I'm at the marketplace, I heard this guy, Terry's a guy, by the way, real tall guy. I heard him say this, and I thought, oh my gosh, I have got to serve the Lord here. I wasn't doing it. I can mentor students. We have therapist students that come in. I'll ask to do that. I'll volunteer. I'm going to volunteer to have those students. And then I'm going to go on prayer walk. I'm going to pray for them. I'll pray for them. And then maybe I can share. I think I could share the word with them. Okay, I'm going to do that. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to share the word with them. And then some of them wanted to come to church, and so they came to church. And some of them wanted to become believers, and they became believers. And some of them wrote me hate mail. Really. They published this article in their newspaper. You know, she was from Boston, and so she published. Who fails the supervisor when the student fails? So that was for me, because I failed her, and she thought she needed to be passed. And oh, well. I wanted to pray for these people. I wanted them to become believers. That's how I could work in the marketplace. I've been unemployed for years, but now I do portraits. I do watercolor portraits. And first, I just gave them away because I really enjoyed doing it. And that could be hours long, but I just gave them away. And then people asked me to pay me to do them, and I still gave them away. And then when there were too many people to ask me, I started charging, especially when strangers asked me, because I wasn't so good about giving away that to strangers. So now I do portraits, and I do portraits of horses and houses and people and babies and people that have died, horses that have died with people that are living. Really? These are not stories. This really is true. Other therapists became believers. And then pretty soon I was sharing with my boss, and my boss became a believer. And I still get letters, mostly kind, from people from the marketplace where I decided, whatever you do, do your work for the Lord. Because it's character that makes you a leader. And you're leading always. Faith is in the unseen. Do you work to serve your boss who sees, or do you work to serve God? Do you see a man skilled in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure men. So I had a gallery opening, which, you know, is a big thing for an artist. So in November, I had a gallery opening. And so we're driving to church. I'm like, Lord, I don't know how to be an artist. And I don't know how to be an artist. I don't know how artists act. And so since we were driving to church, God was very gracious and said, you don't have to be an artist. You just have to be a follower of me. You don't have to glorify art. Glorify me. Oh, well, I can do that. I know how to do that. I can be a Christian. I know how to do that. I've done that a lot longer than anything else. Really, anything else. So I'll do that. So I went, and you know, I thought, well, I can compliment other people because their art is good and people need to be encouraged. So I'm going to encourage other people. So I encouraged other people in their art, and then I had on my white pants, and a lady was talking to me, and she dropped her red wine all over my white pants. And I thought, here's that glorify moment. You know what? Their pants. It's not on the watercolor portrait. It's not on my child. It wasn't glass. Didn't hurt anybody. Their pants. And weeks later, she was like, I was so worried about your pants. So worried about your pants. And I took it. So I took it to this really sweet Vietnamese dry cleaner. He goes, pants ruined. So I said, anything I could do? You would take bleach, cold water, put them in sink. And I said, wouldn't that ruin them? Already ruined. I did it, and they came out perfect. So I could go back to this lady and say, they were pants. It's no big deal. They were just pants. So anyway, so those are my God-honoring artist pants. Sparrow parties. I do not know how to be a sparrow party wife. Where really, they check your fingernails and your toenails to make sure they're painted the same color. No joke.
What?
Yeah. And they're not. It's really intimidating to go with these people. And they need God. And they need to be loved. I don't know how to be an executive's wife. I do know how to be Mark's wife. And I know how to be godly. Let me change that around. I know how to obey God. So women need to be praised. I will be genuinely, authentically loving up women. Maybe I can love one of them to God. Matter of fact, this is my friend Sarah. And this is my broken bangle. It just broke today. Maybe just because of God. This is the prayer box of my broken bangle. This is from a cardiovascular surgeon's wife who was told to me that she was evil. Stay away from that wicked witch of a woman. So I met her at a party, and I thought, well, I just need to be nice. And so I was nice to her. And Sarah got to share the gospel with this woman. And I was at a party, one of those parties. Another cardiovascular surgeon was turning 50, and so I went to this party, and it was on a boat, of all things. And so we're on a boat at a party, and she came up to me and said, would you like to get together and talk about spiritual things? Wow. Is exactly it. That is exactly what she said. I really like you. I want to get together and talk about spiritual things. And so we've spent the last two years, walking together with another friend, talking about spiritual things. And she's almost a believer. And her kids, she's been through now a divorce. And her kids are almost believers too. It's incredible. You want to lead in the workplace? Whatever you do, do your work for the Lord. Obey God. Serve people. What's the next right thing to do? If you see the need, meet it. Because if you see the need, God put you, just the way you are, in that spot to meet that need. That need. Nobody else is, well, there is one other woman walking with tomorrow, but not from Sparrow. I'm walking with her. I get that privilege of walking with which woman? She is so not. Oh my gosh. Okay. Sarah is my very good friend from 19, I have no idea how long I've known her. The first time that I saw Sarah, I have this long list of accolades for her that I didn't get to, along with a lot of other things. The first time I saw Sarah was at a Thanksgiving party. The first time that I sat for a long time with Sarah is when we were going out to Shelby, Michigan with my 3-month-old daughter, driving to a conference for college women. And her memory of that time was that I drove really fast. I think, was the baby crying at the time? It could have had something to do with it, but I don't know. Because, you know, crying baby, it's just... I've known her from being someone who wasn't sure if she wanted to follow God's ways in righteousness to someone who wanted to follow God's ways in righteousness and met this guy. And she wanted to follow God's ways in righteousness and met this guy, and the guy wasn't leading in their dating relationship. And so she said, you know what? I think I don't want to date you. Because if you're not sure if you want to get married and if the dating thing is like going to last forever, then maybe I don't. I just think I'll step out of this relationship. And so she stepped out, and he proposed, and they're married. 2 kids later. Go figure. And she has done the next right thing. That is the character of her life. I've seen it over years after years after years. Maybe today she didn't do the right thing, and I know I didn't. But she has that as a pattern of her life. It's character, and God sees. And so God sees Sarah. And really, when I was handed the, this is what is the need to teach on, here, you go teach on this, then I was like, all right, who would you like me to do this with? This is what I'm thinking. We need to talk about under authority. We're all under authority. You lead under authority. Oh, gosh, I kind of missed a little bit of that. Home, at home. I'm under my husband's authority at home. That means if Mark says, I want the checkbook filled out, number and date and amount, that even if I'm busy at Kroger and my kids are pulling on my leg and I should leave, I need to do that. Not because I have a great need for that, but I can show respect and be under authority by doing that. If my husband says, do the dishes, then I know Sarah has, she has gotten to do the dishes because her husband said to. And so she did the dishes. And my husband doesn't like clutter. And he was out of town a week ago. And so I was like, okay, I've got to get rid of clutter. And our house is clean. It's not like there's clutter. He just doesn't like more things. So clutter for us means like getting rid of a lamp, a table. You know, that's getting rid of clutter. And so I was getting rid of clutter at our house. And I thought, he's going to come home. He's going to say, what? Look, you got rid of clutter. And he came home and he didn't notice. But God sees. And now, unfortunately, you guys all know that I got rid of clutter at my house because I'm under my husband's authority and God sees. And that will reap benefits for me. High points. Everybody is under authority. So just be under authority as a woman, just like my husband is under authority. And just like the President of the United States is under the authority of the Constitution, everybody's under authority. Live in that place securely. Obey God with the very next step. And serve people. Love God, serve people. Sarah.
Hello. Y'all do great, sir.
God sees Sarah.
God saw Sarah. So much so that when I asked the two pastors who would be a good fit, they said, Sarah Jerusalem. Welcome. Sarah Jerusalem. Sarah Jerusalem.
Do this.
Here's Sarah Jerusalem.
No pressure.
Thanks. When I read the description for this workshop when they first put it online, I thought, what the heck? What is that? Who's gonna do that? I don't.
You.
Yeah. I think God's just, what did we call it? A severe mercy. I was really encouraged when someone mentioned that Anita was going to do that, and I thought, oh, that's so great. I'm so glad for the women who will be there because as you heard her talk, I don't know about you, I've been hearing her share these things for the last 10, 12 years, and I think, oh, yeah, oh, if it weren't for Anita choosing to to follow God, choosing to be an imitator of Christ, choosing to do the things that Paul wrote about in the New Testament, then and passing that along, taking the time, 7 o'clock in the morning before her 5 children woke up and started demanding all of her needs, which I had no idea at the time what those needs were because I wasn't a mom, but now I know, and I'm even more appreciative of what she did for me 10 years ago. I think that's the thing that's on my heart to share, is that that kind of relationship and that example that Anita gave to me that helped me see in the Word. It's not just, the Word isn't just, it's just not a book. It really is living and active. And when you see someone else living out what it says, gosh, how encouraging is that? How much hope does that give you to then go and do it too? Because it's not just the words, it's the words and the example. And so I was encouraged that she was doing it. When she asked me to do it with her, I said, I should ask my husband, since this is about leading, being under authority, right? I'll ask my husband. I thought my husband would say, oh no, don't do that. But he said, yeah, why wouldn't you? Because I don't want to stand in front of people. And I think he kind of laughed at me, because that, when I first became a believer, was the thing that I wanted. I wanted position. I wanted to be seen. I wanted to be known. Because that's what the world teaches us is important. That's what the world teaches us is valuable. And so it's just kind of ironic for me that after I don't want it, don't give me the microphone, I got is saying, no, here, share what you know. I know nothing except what's in the Bible. There's nothing new under the sun. It's all here. And so, how can you lead? You're leading as a woman, whether you, if you claim to be a Christian, I guess whether you're a man or a woman, you are a leader. If you claim to be a Christian and people in your lives know that you're a Christian or you go to church, they are looking at you and they're waiting for you to make a mistake. They're going to judge you based upon how, based upon your character. You're either going to lead them to Christ with your character, or you're going to lead them away from Christ. And the only way you can lead them to Christ with your character is to let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. It's to be in the Word, to know the Word, to fill your mind with the Word, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I really struggle with anxiety. I'll talk to someone, oh my gosh, Tracy, you sent me a nice Facebook message saying hi, and then I messaged you back, and then my very next thought was, oh my gosh, she thinks I'm stupid. She was just saying hi, I just should have said hi. She's probably thinking, why did she say what she said? And I know, it's crazy, right? I battled in that moment. Okay, wait, a man of integrity walks securely. What was I trying to do? I just wanted to love Tracy up, because I see she is choosing to serve the church, and I don't really know her. I just know that she's fairly new to Riverview, and she was sitting at the turkey table with me one day in November, handing out information to people who wanted to sign up for turkeys. And I heard a little bit of her story, and then a few months later, I saw started getting merge email or Facebook messages from her, and I thought, oh, that's so great. Look at her. She is getting involved. She is serving. She is being a part of that team. And I was just so encouraged. But even in trying to encourage her, I get anxious, and I need to go back to the Word. and remind myself, a man of integrity walks securely, take every thought captive before the Lord, focus on what is true, lovely, right, admirable, worthy of praise. All of those scriptures, that's what I have to battle my anxiety with, or I would just stay in my house, my messy house with my crazy kids, and not go out. And today, I was not going to come here because I thought, no, I just need to be in my house with my kids and my husband. It's been a hard month. I don't want to go. And then now I had to go because my husband said, no, you should go because Anita's your friend and you should do that. Be in the Word. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. You need to make that choice. Noel talked about today in his first session, what's the next step? I think the next step always for all of us all the time is choosing to do what pleases God consistently. That's character. What pleases God? What's on God's heart? It's knowing God and making Him known. And we can only do that when we know the Word of God, when our worth comes from being a daughter of God, having a relationship with Jesus, from knowing that God sees. Because, you know, maybe no one will ever again say to Tracy, oh my gosh, I see you working. And that would be so sad. But we can't do things for the affirmation. We can't choose to serve and then wait for the thanks. We can't. Our worth needs to come from doing them because God sees and God will reward us. Probably not in this life, but someday. And just be in the Word. Surround yourself with people who love the Word. Find a leader to follow if you don't have one. Pursue someone. If someone's pursuing you, yay, spend time with them. It's a wonderful thing. And back to Tracy. okay. I see the people out there. I'll wrap this up. Even though we can't live for the affirmation of man, I have this verse. It's right above my computer, so after I talk to people over Facebook, I can look at that and say, okay, am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? Am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of God. Where's my heart? Am I trying to please men or am I trying to please God? I'm trying to please God. Okay. I just need to focus on that. I need to not get wrapped up in my anxiety. So that being said, we still need to show each other love. We need to affirm one another. We need to love one another up. We need to be careful not to gossip, not to complain, not to argue. I can't take it personally if Christy Henry doesn't put my email announcement for RivArt in the announcements. I can't. I need to trust that if she can, she will. Because that's her job, not mine. And I can't take it personally. My husband and I are organizing an art camp for kids. When I wrote it out, I said, RivArt Kids Camp. When I got the announcement, it said, Riv Kids Art Camp. Okay, 5 years ago, that would have really pissed me off. I'll just be honest with you. It really would have just made me, no, this is my thing. No, it's not my thing. We're doing kids camp for fifth and sixth graders to serve the fifth and sixth graders, to meet a need in our church that Missy Potter said, oh, this group of kids, this would be great. This will help them build relationships with each other. We need relationships to grow spiritually. We need fellowship. And then Missy retired, and then I got another new contact to be under the authority of, and then I got another new person to be under the authority of, because even though it was my plan, I still needed to give it to Riv Kids for approval and choose to adjust it according, and to be okay with that. And again, going back in my life, there was a time when that would have been really hard to hear someone say, you need to add this, and I'm not going to approve it until this is added. Now, wait, am I doing this to please men or God? God. So we can't do things for the approval of men, but we need to be approving each other. We need to be praising each other. We need to be at peace. We need to love one another. We need to not judge. We need to accept one another. We need to encourage one another, build each other up. Don't grumble against each other. Pray for each other. Encourage one another daily. Say thank you to each other. That is what is going to help us all keep going, keep moving forward in the faith, keep being leaders, because I know a lot of women who have served faithfully and just given up because no one was there saying, oh, great job. Hey, I saw you do that. Oh my gosh, thank you for doing that for me. I saw you wash those dishes. Wow. I hate washing dishes, so I really appreciate that you did that. So those are my thoughts. Thank you, Anita, for sharing all the things in your life that you've shared with me. So
let's pray.
Okay.
Let's pray. Lord, you are Lord of all. You're Lord over the seen and the unseen. What thoughts we think in our hearts, what actions we do in obscurity, the number of diapers that we change, whether they're our kids' diapers or somebody else's, the dishes that we wash, the pens that we steal. You see all those things. God, you who see will reward us. Help us to serve and lead for your glory in thanksgiving for all that you've given us. You have shown us great mercy in loving us, in choosing us, and in continuing to love us through all the days of our lives in eternity. Thank you, Lord. Can we honor you today? In your name, amen.